fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A terrific Tuesday to you. You can call in and talk to me right now, 1-888-914-9149. Toll free, 1-888-914-9149. You can also email the program. Always good to hear from you. Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can grab onto my Twitter handle, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Show account is at Cale Clark Show. And as you're listening to the fading strains of the Cale Clark Show theme song, I'm going to play for you in just a moment another theme song that, if you're a parent, I trust that you're more than familiar with. At least your kids probably are. It's one of the most popular kid shows on TV. Started off as a YouTube channel, but it's Ryan's Mystery Playdate. Check this out. Okay, yeah, we could. It is a masterpiece, isn't it? We could let that go on and on and on. It really is kind of a brain worm, gets in your head. Now, producer Lucas did not know what I was talking about.
I had no clue what this was. Okay. And then I looked it up, and to my amazement, there's like every single episode has like 20 to 30 million views. Yeah. So I'm like, whoa.
It's crazy. And who is Ryan? Well, he's 10-year-old Ryan Kadgy. And if you're a parent, especially a parent of small children, you're probably more familiar with Ryan and the toys he likes to play with than you might want to be, because his family, Ryan's parents, have turned videos of him. Now, this kind of started off on YouTube, videos of him playing with toys into not only a television show, which is called Ryan's Mystery Playdate. It is a multi-million dollar empire. In fact, it's a quarter of a billion dollar yearly empire. And kids can't get enough of this. And so, I don't know if you read the New York Times, but there's a writer by the name of J. Caspian Kang who wrote a piece about Ryan and his family for the New York Times magazine just the other day. And there's a lot of chatter about screen time for kids. Are we maybe overreacting to this a little bit? I think J. Caspian Kang kind of takes the view of maybe we need to just chill out a little bit. He kind of starts off his article about this by saying, over the protests of my fellow concerned parents, I want to admit something. I don't care all that much about screen time, the great child-rearing panic of the 21st century. So many of us have come to believe that if our children spend more than a certain amount of time staring at the screen, whether it's television, phone, iPad, they will succumb to some capitalist plot to turn them all into consumption monsters with insatiable appetites for toys, sugar, more screen time. And he says, this seems absurd to me, but as the father of a four-year-old, I have not been immune to screen time shaming. It upsets me to see my child watching a vapid show like Paw Patrol on her iPad. I think Paw Patrol is pretty good, Jay. I think you're being pretty harsh about that. At any rate, the funny thing is, he says, and this is just humanity, the humanity of it all. Jay Caspian Kang says, it upsets me to see my child watching these vapid TV shows on their iPad. And he says, these moments of protest usually come, it should be noted, when I'm sitting beside her, staring at my own phone, scrolling through Twitter. Yeah, it's true. We do it too, don't we? We do it too. As parents, really anybody in the culture, we probably are guilty of taking a little bit too much screen time for ourselves. So one of the shows that kids, when they do indulge in screen time, whether it's on YouTube Kids, or whether it's on their iPad, or just plain old watching TV the old-fashioned way, one of the most popular programs out there is Ryan's Mystery Playdate. Before we get into this, just one more thing from J. Caspian Kang. He says that in terms of the question of what all these shows, what all these different modes of screen time, how do they affect the developing brain of a four-year-old? He says, I honestly don't know, but I try not to worry too much about it. Life is long and full of different stimuli. He said, I spent most of my preteen years reading fantasy books and the science fiction of L. Ron Hubbard. Do you remember L. Ron Hubbard? He's the Scientology guy. He wrote this book called Dianetics, which basically the philosophy of Scientology is based off of. It's pretty messed up. Battlefield Earth was turned into a terrible movie with John Travolta. Flopped. And anyways, he's a little bit ambivalent in terms of whether this has a negative effect ultimately on a kid. But he does say this. Jay Caspian Kang says this. There is one type of video that I refuse to let my daughter watch. Toy videos. Toy videos. And he says parents with kids of a certain age will certainly know what I'm talking about because it's a genre. It's found on YouTube that features some kid playing with another plastic monstrosity. Very often there's a tie-in to Paw Patrol or another very popular kid show like Peppa Pig or something like that. You know, those British pigs like Daddy Pig and Mommy Pig. I like Peppa Pig. I'm not against it, but Jay Caspian Kang hates it. Hates them. But toy videos, he will not allow his kid, his four-year-old daughter, to watch toy unwrapping, toy unboxing videos. And again, there is a huge genre concerning this. And this is how Ryan Kaji, who is now the undisputed boy king of YouTube, this is how he got his start. Now, Ryan, by the way, he's now 10 years old. And he's at the center of a media empire. Now, if you hadn't heard of this guy, I don't necessarily blame you, but it's kind of a niche thing. But if you're a parent, again, you know, and even if you're not a parent, you might find this interesting. He's got multiple YouTube channels. Ryan Kaji, this 10-year-old boy, has cable television shows. Of course, Ryan's Mystery Playdate is at the centerpiece of that. And he also makes a lot of live appearances, too. All kinds of different things. He actually has, I forget how many, he has 10 separate YouTube channels. Imagine that. He has 10 separate YouTube channels, and all together, you put all these channels together, and that makes up a conglomerate that's known as, quote-unquote, Ryan's World. So this is a content juggernaut. Now, he also has branded merchandise. You can get Ryan toys. You can get Ryan this. Carl's Jr., which is a fast food outlet. They have something that's a little bit like a Happy Meal, I guess. I don't know what it's called. It's called like the Carl's Meal or something. I don't know. Anyway, so the toy that you get is a Ryan toy when you get that meal as a kid or maybe as an adult. I don't know. So he's got a tie-in there. He's got all these branded merchandise. It takes in more. The last year, this was how much it raked in. $250 million. This kid has a massive... Yeah, it's inconceivable. And in terms of the family, the parents of Ryan, and their names are Cheyenne, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Cheyenne and Loan Kaji. Now, that's not their real last name. They've changed their last name and the name of their son for professional purposes. Going to get into them in just a little bit. The Kaji family, their take is, of this $250 million a year empire, their take, conservative estimates, have their take at $25 million every year. And if you're not aware of the kind of money that's floating around with these YouTube celebrities, there you have a great example of that. This is really, in a lot of ways, replaced for many people, legacy media. People are, they're not watching television anymore. They're watching YouTube. So let me talk a little bit about Ryan's parents. And by the way, when you see the show, if you've ever seen the show, there's a really strong temptation. I don't think it's that simple, but there's a really strong temptation to say, I could do that. Because it's just these parents are, they're very, very normal people. The dad especially is very lovable and playful with his kid. And you just think, man, what is the draw here? What is the draw? Even the singing on the theme song is kind of off key. Who can it be? It's a mystery. I'm just like, I don't get it. So when you watch the show, it's basically he plays all these little games, and then there's a mystery play date. Sometimes it's an actual celebrity. Sometimes it's just somebody who does something cool, like an acrobat or something, will be his mystery playdate, and they'll kind of play together on the show. It's a half-hour show, and it's, you know, there's nothing negative about it or anything like that. It's Ryan's a very sincere kid. He seems pretty legit for a 10-year-old. He seems like he's got a pretty level head. But his parents, Cheyenne and Loanne, they met as undergrads at Texas Tech University. And the father, Cheyenne, he's the son of a microchip company executive. And he moved to the U.S. from Japan when he was in high school. Now, Ryan's mom, Loanne, she actually, her family escaped Vietnam. They were shuttled through refugee camps in Malaysia and Singapore before they made it to the United States. And she grew up in Houston. Now, if you look these guys up online, one thing about her, and I'm not throwing shade here. I'm not throwing shade at all. This is going to sound like I'm, you know, why would you bring this up, Kale? But I actually think there's a positive spin to this. Ryan's mom, Loanne, she was actually arrested back in 2002 for shoplifting. She was kind of in college at the time, and she stole or attempted to steal $93 worth of clothing from JCPenney. I think it was JCPenney. So she was arrested, booked for shoplifting, and the judge was pretty lenient, gave her probation. Well, she violated her probation, didn't check in with her probation officer, and then she got arrested, and she was handed a 60-day jail sentence. That was dropped down to 30 days, but she did still spend 30 days in the slammer. And when you think about it, it's like, wow, this person literally has a criminal record, but now they're at the center of a multi-million dollar empire. And she's running this basically corporation. So I actually think that's pretty inspiring that, you know, you can come back from something. You can change. If you've made a mistake, even a terrible mistake in your life, it's not over. You can pick up the pieces. You can start over and you can make something of yourself. Like that's actually pretty solid. So she's obviously a very intelligent person. And I do think that she was kind of the brains behind the whole operation of her son becoming such a superstar. At any rate, so the parents met at Texas Tech after she wanted to become a teacher, became a chemistry teacher after that. The father wanted to get his master's in engineering. He was actually accepted to Cornell in the Ivy League, but he had to come back to Texas because Ryan was born. And so he finished his master's online. They tried to form a family together. At any rate, as J. Caspian Kang says in the New York Times, the bottom line is that they're not the typical parents of a celebrity kid who maybe had failed Hollywood dreams of their own. It didn't work out for them, but then they have this kid and they think, I'm going to make my kid a star and I'm going to live vicariously through them. They don't seem to fit that mold. They didn't put their kids through singing and dancing lessons, but at the same time, they're extremely smart. They're extremely canny and they've really put together a massive empire. So the first video, now you can actually go on YouTube, you can find the first video that their son Ryan actually made. He was only 3 years old at the time. They're at Target. I was going to play the video, but it's not that interesting from an audio perspective. I'm not even sure it's that interesting from a video perspective, but you could check out YouTube. And he's 3 years old. They're in the toy aisle at Target. And his mom says, "Hi, Ryan." "Hi, Mommy," says Ryan. "What's your pick of the week today?" And he picks out this Lego choo-choo train, and they buy it, they take it home, and then he kind of, I guess, unboxes it and plays with it on the video. Unboxing videos are really popular, and it's true with electronics and things like that. It's also true with kids' toys as well. So there's nothing that kind of stands out of the ordinary. He's not, as Kang writes, he's not singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow or anything like that. He's just a three-year-old who seems a little advanced for his age. He's very good at communicating, expressing himself. But really, there's not too much difference between this video and a million other videos, kid videos that parents put out on YouTube. And even Loanne herself, Ryan's mom, said, I really didn't expect anything to come from this other than maybe a cute video I could share with Ryan's grandparents. But there was much more to it. Imagine when you see this video, it's incredible to think that this was the seed of a $250 million per year franchise, which is crazy. So anyway, so they kept making videos and they kept the family was a little bit worried. How are we going to afford all these toys for the videos for the unboxing? So they came up with a budget, $20 a week. That's all they could spend in production costs, including the toys. The mom filmed everything on her smartphone, edited the videos on her laptop. The dad was working at his engineering job, making a living. And the mom realized there are these other two kids that were pretty popular on YouTube. One of them is called EvanTube HD. And the mom sort of said, like, wait a minute, like, these guys are pretty big. They're actually making a living here. And maybe we could do that, too. Maybe we could do that, too. And a lot of these videos are copycat videos, too. Parents will kind of know this if your kids watch these. One of the big trends at the time was giant paper mache eggs that are filled with toys. And so Ryan's mom said, I'm going to make a video like this, too. These are really popular among kids. But I really can't afford to buy this massive paper mache egg filled with toys. So I got to improvise here. I'm going to take a whole bunch of old toys that Ryan already had from the movie Cars. And I'm going to stuff it into a paper mache egg and make a video of him cracking open the egg and getting the toys out. So here's a little clip from that video. And this was the video that really broke Ryan huge.
Ryan.
What?
Ryan. I have a surprise for you.
What?
Look over here.
Whoa!
What do you see?
It's a giant Lightning McQueen egg!
Yeah, it is! You want to open it?
Yeah!
Let's go!
Kids, let's crack the egg. Welcome to Ryan Toy Video. Let's see what's inside the egg.
Whoa, what is that?
It's a lightning race car!
Okay. So that's probably enough for you to get the gist of it. Okay, as simple as that sounds, and believe me, it's not exactly Hollywood production quality here. This video of Ryan cracking open this paper mache egg, breaking the egg, really broke Ryan onto the international stage. Do you know how many views that video has on YouTube right now? Over 1 billion views. Can you imagine? And so that really launched him into the stratosphere, and he began growing explosively, massive. And anyways, Loanne, Ryan's mom, said, man, she didn't really know too much about how to monetize YouTube videos. Their first paycheck, you get paid however many clicks you get on YouTube. So the first paycheck she got from YouTube was for $150. And after about a year of bigger and bigger paychecks from YouTube, they realized that, you know, they need to make this a full-time job because Ryan's got a quote-unquote rare gift. So the father eventually even quit his job because he felt like he was kind of, you know, not pulling his weight with this family enterprise. And so Ryan continued this channel of, it was called Ryan's Toys Review at the time, playing with toys that he liked from Thomas the Tank Engine, Cars, whatever. They even started a production company, which is called, it's still in existence today. It's a lot bigger than it used to be. It's called Sunlight Entertainment. And eventually, yeah, both parents quit their jobs to become full-time managers of Ryan's career. So here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Is this healthy? I want to ask you about this. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 888-914-9149 is the number to call if you have a take on this. Now, obviously, it's healthy for the bank account for this family, but is it healthy in general? Is it healthy for Ryan? Is it healthy for other kids to be doing this? But here's the masterstroke, though, and this came from Ryan's father, Shion. He realized that all these other, there are literally thousands of, if not millions of kid videos like this out on the internet. And again, you watch it and you say, there's nothing special about this. But the dad realized that they could differentiate Ryan by making everything about him, not about the toy that he's playing with, not about the brand, not about Thomas the Tank Engine, not about Lightning McQueen from Cars, and hoping that other kids stumble onto this content. Oh, I want to watch a video about Lightning McQueen. Where can I find one? They realize, no, let's make Ryan the brand. Let's make the talent the brand. So that was really the masterstroke, because he was becoming more and more popular. So he created his own brands, the Ryan brand, Ryan's Mystery Playdate. He created his own characters, his own toys. He came up with these characters called the Combo Panda. Gus the Gummy Gator, if you've seen the TV show, they figure prominently. So they created these characters inspired by Ryan, and they decided to make him the center of it. And that's really what led to the massive commerce that they are enjoying right now. So they try to say that they limit the amount of time that Ryan is on camera. But we can't deny the fact that ever since he was 3 years old, he has been making video content pretty much every day since he was three. Is that a good thing? Most of his childhood has been captured on video for the public to see. And some of the videos are really cute. Some of the videos are... they have one, Jay Caspian Kang talks about this in his article, called Ryan's First Business Class Airplane Ride to Japan. Now, maybe that's not exactly in the greatest of taste, but he can certainly afford it. In 2017, the Kaji family established a partnership with a firm called Pocket.Watch. That's a licensing company. This company is run by a former Walt Disney Company executive. And so that's where the Ryan's World franchise really got started. They inked deals with Walmart, Amazon, Skechers. If you've been in a toy department recently, you've probably seen the Ryan merchandise. So that's what he does. They now have 30 employees, the parents do, working for them at their production company called Sunlight Entertainment. They've moved from Houston to Hawaii. When asked why, they say, well, why not? We've always wanted to live in Hawaii. Now we can afford it. Why don't we just do it? So Jay Caspian Kang, when he was doing the story for the New York Times, he actually went to California and watched some of the filming of Ryan's Mystery Playdate. And apparently what they do now is they fly Ryan in for a week from Hawaii. He films all the episodes for the season, then flies back as quick as they can get him home. So that's what it's all about. You can check out the shows, but I really want to get your take on this. This raises a lot of questions for me. Is this a good idea? Is it a good idea for kids? Is it a good idea for parents? I've got a lot of thoughts on this. I want to hear from you. How do you feel? What's your take? 1-888-914-9149. Be right back. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Faith, facts, and fun. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. On this Tuesday, you might be on the West Coast in the afternoon, driving home, picking up your kids from school. If you are, they might be bothering you to give them the iPads so they can watch Ryan's Mystery Playdate. We're talking about the boy king of YouTube, Ryan Kaji, who's created this empire with his parents, $250 million in revenue every year. How do you feel about this? Would you want to do this? Would you want to create this $250 million empire around your young child? There might be a lot of reasons. There might be 250 million reasons why you might want to do it, but should you do it? Ought you to do this? Or are you more concerned about the potential scarring that this could induce in your child? Because it's tempting to say, hey, my kid could do this. My kid's more funny, or my kid's more magnetic, or, you know, those parents, Ryan's parents, and they're stars of the show too. They're on the show. They play with Ryan on the show, and they're like very normal people. Now, again, I think they're way more savvy than people think. They have to be to be able to pull this off, but there's just this air that, man, I could do this. I'm not sure that's the case, but Is this healthy at all? Is there a downside? If you think about it, I mean, obviously Ryan's parents have secured the financial future of not only Ryan, his two twin sisters who are a little bit younger than him, probably their own kids, their own grandkids for generations to come. Is it possible to pull off something like this without things going off the rails? Keeping everything in perspective, is it a bad idea to post videos of your kid online in the first place? Some might even say this is a form of child exploitation. How many instances have there been of burned out celebrity kids in the entertainment industry? And let's face it, this is the entertainment industry. YouTube is in a lot of ways replacing legacy Media. Again, this kid, Ryan, has been making non-stop daily videos since he was 3. He's now 10. Is there a chance that he doesn't grow up to be a healthy, well-adjusted adult? Or maybe his parents are planning on getting him out of this before he's too old and it's not cute anymore. I don't know. Or maybe he'll, as a teen, morph into playing video games online, you know, for clicks. I don't know. What do you think about this? We've got a couple open phone lines if you want to call in. 888-914-9149. We're going to go to Henrietta, who is calling from Montebello, California. Hello, Henrietta.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Patrick.
I'm not Patrick.
Okay, you can hear me.
But yeah, Patrick answered the phone. I'm Kale. You're on the air now.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kale.
That's okay. Okay.
I don't think it's a good idea. You know, they're taking advantage of their little kid because they got all these, whatever you call it, beans on there, over a million or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you start getting greedy and you start using your kids, you know, mm-hmm. and there's the show like you were talking about. It's really stupid. I mean, there's nothing. I wouldn't let my grandchildren look at that. It's stupid. Somebody opening up a present or playing with a little game, you know. He's not anything special, you know. But it's not really kind of their fault because it's the people that look at these videos, you know, and they keep looking at them. What for? People are stupid sometimes. I mean, it'd be different if it was something like, wow. Look at this kid, he's doing this and he's doing that. No, it's like you said, it's nothing special. Why do people continue to look at this?
I don't understand it. that's a good question, Henrietta. And a lot of people ask that question. They just don't get it. They just don't get it. But yet, we can't deny the fact that people are watching. A lot of people are really into it, like big time, big time. And here's an interesting... Maybe this is part of the answer. I don't quite know. And thanks so much for that phone call, Henrietta. Call back anytime. Jay Caspian King, when he was writing about this in the New York Times, he shared an interesting anecdote from his own life. Because, again, the parents are part of the show. They're playing with Ryan on Ryan's Mystery Playdate. The games are really goofy. There's nothing unwholesome about what they're doing or anything like that. It's fine. They're playing these kind of fun games, and very often the parents lose to Ryan. You know, that's part of the deal. It's part of the deal. You know, the dad is often the guy who ends up with, you know, a pie in the face or something like that. But when he was writing about this, Jay Caspian King, he said this reminded him of a moment from when he was in high school. He was driving around town with a couple of his classmates, and he didn't really know these kids really well. One of them was an A student, ran for student council. And one of the things that she told him on this car drive was that every week she and her parents would get together and play board games. And he said, that sounds insane. Like, what? And he didn't say anything to her about it because he just thought to himself, man, my family doesn't do stuff like that. But he had this image in his mind of his classmate sitting down on the floor of their living room, playing board games with her bookish parents. And he started thinking about this time and time again. And for a whole year, he started feeling a lot of hostility towards this student. And he wasn't quite sure why. But now that he has a kid of his own, he has a 4-year-old daughter of his own, and he says, I play games with my daughter almost every night. But I suppose there's still part of me that thinks about that happy family, and I can't fathom how such things could ever be possible. And so maybe that's part of the draw. Maybe in a weird way, that's part of the draw, that people seeing a kid playing with his parents, and they kind of want this, maybe even for themselves in some strange way. Why do kids want to watch these videos? That's a great question. Like, there's a lot more educational stuff out there. There's stuff about nature. There's stuff about, you know, the blue planet. And all. I mean, those are incredible videos. Why do kids want to watch other kids unbox and play with toys that they can't have? What's the deal with that? Well, I guess in some way, one of the comments in the article, somebody said, well, hang on here. Adults do that every single day. Think about the YouTube videos that you watch. There's this other guy on YouTube, and this is kind of, I guess, Ryan's mystery playdate for adults in a certain sense. There's this guy, Marquez Brownlee. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's a YouTube sensation. He's got 15 million subscribers to his YouTube channel. He goes by the moniker MKBHD, which is kind of his initials, Marcus K. Brownlee HD, high definition. Anyways, so he started his YouTube channel when he was a young teenager. And this thing is massive. He has sponsors. He has millions, billions of views for some of his videos. And he basically, it's a tech channel. He talks about smartphones. He talks about cars like Tesla. He talks about computers. But it's basically tech. It's basically personal tech like smartphones, smartwatches, things like that. And he gets so many views. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. He's become, no doubt, a millionaire many times over through his channel. But that's basically what he does. He unboxes stuff and plays with stuff that we would like to have, toys that we would like to play with as adults. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the draw. But I'd love to hear your take on all this. Call me right now, 1-888-914-9149. Let's go now to Brian in Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Kale. Hi. Great show. Love the show.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, so I guess my take is before I cast stones,
mm-hmm. yep.
I would want to know more. So, I mean, my point of view is I'm the youngest of 10 children. Thank God I have great parents and showed me the value of hard work and such. And through the grace of God, I'm very successful. I'm not tooting my own horn, but I'm an IT executive. I make six figures.
Okay.
And even I worry about, like, my success. Am I doing enough from a charity perspective? Am I giving enough of my talent, treasure, and time? And I worry about those things, and it's not nearly on the scale of
these
parents. So I would just, what I wonder is, are they putting themselves or the child at risk of being too worldly? I don't know. I'm just, these are the thoughts that come to mind. With that much success, it could be overwhelming. You touched on a couple of points with child actors being very successful, very young, and some things, you know, that weren't great later in their lives. So I would just worry, and I would want and hope that the parents are well-grounded, as you've kind of indicated, and that they don't become too worldly, and that they do have a faith life.
Yeah, thanks for that perspective, Brian. And I'm not sure about that. I don't know if they have a faith background. I really don't know too much about the parents. But, you know, they obviously have made a lot of coin from this. And I do think that you're right. And maybe what keeps you up at night is the idea that, am I doing enough? Am I being a good steward? Because I think at one level, my friend Cardinal Collins, Archbishop of Toronto, he's made this the theme of his pastoral ministry throughout his whole career. It's the theme of stewardship. He's like, if you can get this right, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay because God has entrusted us with really three things: time, talent, and treasure. Time, we don't know how much of it we've got left. We keep withdrawing money from the bank of time, and one day there's not going to be anything to take out anymore. We don't know when that day's coming, so we've got to make good use of our time. Our talents, we've got to use them for God and for other people, to advance humanity. And then, of course, our treasure. And some of us have been gifted with resources in that department. And I know a lot of people. Listen, it's at some level, you know, you can be poor and be very materialistic, and you can be very rich and be very materialistic. You can also be poor and be very holy. Being we sort of, and obviously when you read the Bible, sometimes you get the perception that if you're poor, you're automatically holy. That's not always the case. That's not always the case. St. Jose Maria Escrivá, he used to tell the story about, a true story from the Spanish Civil War. It was a tough time for everybody. He went to the soup kitchen, and there was this guy, this poor beggar who came in, and he had his favorite spoon. And it was kind of like the Lord of the Rings. It was kind of like, you know, Gollum in the ring, my precious. You know, he had this pewter spoon. And he pulled out of his jacket at the soup kitchen every day, and that was his thing. Like, he would not let anybody touch it. He would not let anybody use it. I mean, I don't know how much this thing was worth, maybe a couple bucks, but that was like his idol in a certain sense. He didn't have much, but he still had some issues in that department of materialism and possessions and things like that. The spoon possessed him in a certain way of looking at it. And so there are also people who are very wealthy, who are very generous, and who are incredibly detached. And it's tougher to do it at some level. The more stuff you have, the tougher it is to be detached from it. there are a lot of people who can handle, who can be spiritually still intact when they face failure in life. But there are, I think it's harder in some ways to have success and to be the same person and even become better, become holier, because there are these temptations. And so I'm sure that his family, I don't know if they think about it this way. I don't know if they have a spiritual outlook at all. The parents of Ryan Kadgi, I don't know if they do or not, but they have been entrusted with a lot of resources. And are they going to prove to be good stewards of it? Because we all have to give an account, whether or not they believe in God or not. We're all going to stand before Almighty God and have to account for what we did with our time, talent, and treasure. And so I pray that they're using it well. And I pray that they're doing well by their son, because... And they say that they're trying to protect him. I hope that that's true. And maybe he's completely well adjusted. Maybe this doesn't. Maybe he's not fazed by the fame, and he won't be growing up. I don't know. But I do feel like it's a little bit like the Truman Show. If you remember the movie The Truman Show with Jim Carrey, that came out a few years ago. But the bottom line is that he thinks he's living in the real world. He's actually the main character in a movie about his life. Everybody that's around him is a paid professional actor. The people on his street, the people at the store that he goes into. And he is actually living on a set, on a TV set. He has no idea. And he finally gets off the set. I don't want to spoil the movie for you. But in a sense, that's a little bit like what's going on with Ryan. His whole life, since he was 3 years old, has been spent in the public eye on television. Can he get out of that situation without being too affected by this in a negative way? I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if you agree with this. Would you do this for your kid? I don't know. 888-914-9149 is the number to call. We're going to go back to the phones right now. We're going to go to Jewel calling from Boston. Hello, Jewel.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. It's great to talk to you. What's your take on all this, Jewel?
So I had to call in because I've actually been in this child's position. From age 6 to 12, I produced with my mother our own cable TV show within the city of Boston. So on a weekly basis, while I'm in kindergarten, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, for several years, I was producing. So I was going to events. The theme of the show was promoting ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things, so that young people, especially young people of various backgrounds, economic, culture, whatever, would have role models that weren't just your Oprah or your Michael Jordan. So the purpose of the show helped to grow values in me. I do happen to come from a faith-based background. Nice. And so at times we would promote some of the faith-based things that were going on in the community. But I've also, I mean, I interviewed Patti LaBelle. I interviewed Mandela. Wow. There were also big-name individuals on our show at that time. And I think in this particular case, it's not always just what you're doing with your child, but how you're doing it. At no point did I ever feel forced. At no point do I feel like I've been scarred. I think a lot of the skills that I learned during that time were transferable and helped to develop my maturity at a young age. My mother did manage me, and granted, I did have multiple skills. So I danced, I did music, I had a lot of things that I was doing. But what I will say is, there are individuals and families and parents who mismanage and misuse and mishandle their children. But I do want to give a perspective that that's not always the case.
Yes.
And sometimes it actually is very valuable. This will be the last thing I say, but I actually got into it because while my mother was being trained on how to produce, so going out in the back room, this is back in VHS and long before YouTube was around, so we had to do the nitty-gritty. It wasn't just pull your phone out. While she was going through her final test, they would ask her questions, and I would give the answer. Everybody thought I was just a six-year-old in the corner playing around, but I had been paying attention, and I had shown interest. And so when they would ask a question, I was answering. My mother picked up on that, and she said, you know what? This is something that my child is interested in. I have high expectations, and I want to feed this interest. I stopped it when I was preparing to go to high school because my academics and other things were a priority, and she followed what my interests were. So I wanted to share that perspective to say that there is a right way and there is a wrong way to do it. You have to evaluate your child's needs and what their interests are. And I think that it is possible for this child to come out of this experience scarred and to be actually a better person from doing it.
That is a great perspective, Jewel. And by the way, I have to clarify something that you said. Did you say that you interviewed Nelson Mandela?
Yep. Wow. It was literally on Getty Images. There was a picture of me with my video camera as a child, videotaping him when he was at Harvard Law School, and I got to meet and interview him along with some other more iconic names like Patti LaBelle. But the main purpose of our show was to promote local individuals. But I mentioned that not from from a humble standpoint of even at a young age, you can have that type of reach and it'd be great, but also have a local impact. And as men and women of God and of faith that might be listening, God calls us to go out. We're not supposed to be of the world, but we are in the world. And so that was a public service. Back in those days, there was no YouTube to get paid for this. We were doing it out of our pocket, and then there were other opportunities that came from it. But even from that faith aspect, which I didn't even speak to, there were values. There was work ethic. There were scriptures that could be tied to what I learned and what was developed in me from that experience.
Jewel, I really appreciate your perspective. I think it was a needed perspective. I'm so glad that you called in. Please call back anytime. That is a great take. That was Jewel calling from Boston, who was involved in, she was a kind of a child star who was producing programs back in the day, long before YouTube, but found it to be a positive experience. That I have some thoughts on that too, and you probably do as well. 888-914-9149. We'll be right back after this short break. The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We're having a fascinating discussion about the boy king of YouTube, Ryan Kadgi, who is the star of Ryan's Mystery Playdate, among many other things. If you don't know who he is, just walk into the toy department at your local Walmart, because he's got merchandise everywhere. He's at the center of, he's 10 years old. His parents have created this empire around him, started with unboxing videos, playing with toys. There's a lot of videos like that that appeal to kids out there on YouTube. Graduated into this conglomerate that is now pulling in $250 million a year. We were talking about whether or not this is a good thing. We had an interesting phone call just before the break from Jewel. And at first, when I saw the description that Jewel was calling, and she was a former young celebrity, I thought it was actually Jewel Kilcher, the singer. I was pretty pumped for that. Remember Jewel? Yeah, there we go. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. I don't want to get too sad here, but Jewel was great. I don't know what happened to her. I haven't heard anything from Jewel in years. I thought she was pretty talented. Anyways, but no, it's a different Jewel. And the Jewel who called in, Jewel from Boston, apparently she was in a sort of a kids' TV program. Her parents helped her to produce it. She learned production way before the days of smartphones. YouTube had a show. She interviewed Nelson Mandela, people like Patti LaBelle. Hey, so she said, she actually, it was an incredibly positive experience for her. She learned a lot of skills, obviously probably developed a whole lot of confidence. And it was a really, really great experience. So it's not always bad. And one of the things that she said was that it depends on the parents. And I think that's certainly true. If, let's say, with respect to Ryan, let's say that Ryan told his parents, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm depressed. No, you got to do it, man. You got to keep the machine rolling. Got to keep printing that money. Then if they said something like that, I think obviously there'd be a huge, huge issue there. And there's been no indication that that's the case. Ryan seems to be truly enjoying himself. when you watch these videos, he's having a lot of fun. He seems genuine. And I hope that this kid will turn out okay. But if ever that wasn't the case and the parents wanted to keep that train moving, then there's a serious problem. So, and the other thing that Jewel said that I want to pick up on, and I remember this from my days when I was outside the Catholic Church and I was in the evangelical world before I came back, there was this book that was really popular, a while back, and it was called Roaring Lambs. It was really popular in the evangelical world by this guy named Bob Briner. Roaring Lambs. And he said, really, like, Christians need to be in every field. They need to be in the entertainment field. They can't just say, well, that's the devil's work, you know, and we only work in churches. You know, no, I mean, you've got to be in every legitimate field. There has to be wholesome entertainment. There has to be entertainment that's honoring to God. And so you have to be salt and light in every profession. That's one of the reasons why we have the Merry Beggars here at Relevant Radio. It's kind of the entertainment division of Relevant Radio. You probably heard the Christmas Carol. It was fantastic. Peter Atkinson and company did a great job with that. Lots of good stuff to come. Radio theater. So I think that's a really important perspective that Jewel brought. So thanks for calling in, Jewel. You can call in anytime. And we're going to go back to the phones right now. We're going to go to Betty, who's calling from Park Forest, Illinois. Hello, Betty.
Hi there, Kyle. Kale.
Hey.
I think, yes, with an A, Kale. I give the parents credit for knowing how to present their child in this very pleasant way of opening presents or gifts or whatever. I have 2 6-year-old grandchildren, and they're absolutely, totally fascinated with him. And that my only big complaint about it is the toys that are actual Ryan toys, these cases that have wonderful presents, you know, surprise things that are inside, are such a ripoff.
Okay. You think they're overpriced?
They're so overpriced. And both of my children's parents, grandchildren's parents have said, please don't buy any more of those, because they're just, and they are. But the kids like unwrapping them. They're, you know, it takes a long time to get into these little treasures, but there's something in the presentation that is so hypnotic that you can get little kids that, and both of them will be happy to take my phone and make their very own video of themselves being the Ryan of the day.
Betty, thank you very much for that call. I do appreciate the call, and so kids are obviously into this, and your grandchildren obviously are too. Betty made the comment. She thinks the Ryan merchandise is a little steep. If you want to get Ryan's face on it, it's going to cost you. It kind of made me think of the episode we did before Christmas on Festivus, that famous Seinfeld episode where...
happy Festivus, everyone!
Yeah, George's dad said that he created Festivus when he was fighting over a toy in a store for his kid. There was one toy left. I don't know, it was kind of a Cabbage Patch doll type situation where they're fighting for the toy, him and this other dad. And he said, as I was raining down blows on this guy, I thought, there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way. And so that's why he created Festivus. But it's not a real holiday, of course. But we had a lot of fun with that. We did a whole episode on it, but I don't even think anybody noticed because they're on Christmas holidays. But check the archives, especially if you're a Seinfeld fan. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, there's so much to say here, and I apologize. We're out of time. I wish I could have gotten more of you on. The phone lines are jammed right now. Donna in Scottsdale, she wanted to make the point that, sorry we couldn't get you on, Donna, but please call back another time. Wanted to make the point that maybe the kids, kind of like Jay Caspian Kang was saying in his article, they like seeing this kid playing with their parents because maybe their parents don't do that with them. Maybe they're not involved with their lives. Maybe they're not around, and so they kind of are living vicariously through Ryan and his parents. I don't know. That might be part of the draw, to be sure. So, wow, what a fascinating thing to talk about. And by the way, in terms of the errors and omissions department, I do need to alert you to something that Patrick Alog told me, who's answering the phones right now. Jewel is still, she's still out there. Maybe I'm just not as tuned in as I should be. Apparently, Jewel won The Masked Singer, that TV show, The Masked Singer. I've seen the commercials. I haven't actually sat down and watched the show, but apparently Jewel won, and she has apparently just released another album as well. So I'll look for that. So she's out there. She won The Masked Singer. That's good to hear. So glad you're still alive, Jewel, and well, and making music, and that's awesome. And I'm super glad that you tuned in today to The Cale Clark Show. Of course, we will be back at this same time tomorrow on Relevant Radio, and of course also through the relevant radio app. One of the great things about the show, too, is that it is available as a podcast. If you can't listen live, we do put the show out as a podcast. The podcast gets out there roughly about an hour or so after the show ends. So it's a great way to listen. If you can't listen live, you can stream it. You can download it through relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app. You can share it with a friend. Say, hey, did you miss the show about Ryan's mystery play date? You got to check this out. And you can share it with a friend. And that's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to do to spread the word about what we do here in Relevant Radio on the Cale Clark Show. So I really want to thank Lucas Holt for producing. I want to thank Patrick for screening calls. Sent me straight about Jewel and her continued success in this world. And thank you most of all for listening, for calling in, for being part of the conversation. We'll see you tomorrow. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.